start by saying that, you know, the major problem we have as Christians is to believe the Bible. As simple as it looks, I'm telling the truth. The major problem we have, what we struggle with, is to believe the Bible. Some of us, it's not that we don't read the Bible. Some of us, it's not that we don't study. But some of us don't even read at all. Some read, you know, hypocritically, read today, don't read tomorrow. The main issue is, do you believe the Bible? Do you believe what you want? What you read? That's the main issue. Because if we read it all, we can do whatever we can. Until we add faith to that thing, it's mere words, it's just words. But it's your faith that puts it into action, that makes it come alive and produce what God says it should produce. And so I implore you this morning to please listen. Because faith cometh by what? Hearing. So what we're going to talk about is empowered by the gospel. What did I say? Empowered by the gospel. That's what we're going to preach this morning. Well, all the kids, you go, there's lunch for you. Adults, there's no lunch for you until after the service. All the kids, don't follow the kids. There's lunch for the kids. Please go, let them go, let them pass, let them go. Let them go, all of them. This is America, you have to feed them. Or they will accuse you of abuse of minors. Okay, so our topic is empowered by the gospel. What did I say? Come on, I want you to say it. What did I say? Empowered by the gospel. And they know 1 Corinthians 15:1-5. Just want to remind us what the gospel is. Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news, of the gospel, which news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm on it. It is the good news that saves you. If you continue to believe the message I told you, it keeps working the whole of your life. It's not just to believe and come and become a member of our church. No. It's what saves you, keeps you saved the whole of your life. If you continue to believe the good news that saves you, if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place, I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Now, church, this is the gospel now. Paul said, this was what was revealed to me. This was what was passed on to me that I'm passing on to the church. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, number one, Christ died for what? For our sins. I'm sorry, that screen has issues, so you may not see it there. If your sight is that good, you can read this one. He said, number one, I pass on to you what was passed, most important, and what has been also been passed to me. Number one, Christ what? Died for our sins. It's number one. Christ died for our sins. Just as the scripture said. And then number two, he was buried. I want to hear you. He was what? Buried. And he was what? Raised from the dead on the third day. Just as the scripture what? Said. You see, he's giving point one. The scripture says he died for our sins. Number two, the scripture says he was buried and was raised on the third day. Just as the scripture says. And then verse five. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. Now let me make it clear to us, please. Listen to me. It's important to preach about the cross. The cross is so critical, it's so important. But the gospel is not only about the cross. The gospel is not only about the cross. Again, the cross is critical, very important. I preach it, we should preach it. But if you stop there, you are not preaching the full gospel. The full gospel is about his death on the cross. His burial, and his what? Because each one of them has significance in your life. His resurrection has significance. If he didn't rise, the Bible says we shall all men be most what? Miserable. His resurrection is so critical, it's so important. His burial is also very important. Everything Jesus did, his death on the cross, his burial and resurrection, a Christian must be familiar, very familiar with the role he plays in his life and his faith. If you don't, you miss out on huge stuff. You do. I'm telling you, you do. And so, bearing that in mind, we said that the gospel gives us three basic benefits. Number one is forgiveness, because he died for our sins. Is that correct? Number one is what? Forgiveness of sin. I want you to say it louder. Forgiveness. It's, you know, because we think that God is like us. So we think, how can God forgive sin? To some people, it's like, no. He will send them to hell. If he will send them to hell, you are number one on the list. That will be hidden there. But Christ died for our sins. Acts 13:38. Acts 13:38, I'll be reading it because we don't have the screen. Acts 13:38, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you, what? The forgiveness of sins. What is being preached? Come on, say it louder. Is to preach is to declare it. Because he died for our sins. So you tell the world that forgiveness of sins is now available to you. And the Bible told us to preach the gospel of reconciliation. That God was in Christ, not imputing iniquities, because Jesus died for it. And because it pleased God to smite him because of our sins. And God's not going to smite us again for that. Well, your carnal mind might reject it and recall at it. And you're looking for God to kill people. Again, like I said, you'll be number one on that list. If you want God to kill them, send them to hell, you are headed there yourself. Because you are not different from them. So number one thing that the gospel teaches us because of the cross and what Jesus did is there is forgiveness of sin now available to everybody that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you understand that, say amen. That's the first thing you must tell people. The first thing you must tell people. Paul said, I'm telling you what I received. The number one thing he died for us is the first thing you must preach to people. You know your sins are forgiven. God has made available forgiveness of sins because God sent his son to die for your sins. He paid the price for it. So your sins are forgiven. Totally forgiven. Don't tell them to do one thing or the other. Just tell them that the price has been. They don't have to pay another price for it. They don't have to kneel down, stand up, confess, do this. That's your own doctrine. It's not Bible. It's not where the Bible teaches all that kind of thing. The price has already been what? Paid. So what price do you demand on them again? That Christ didn't pay? Are you telling them that the cross is insufficient? Are you telling them that the death on the cross is insufficient? Are you telling them when Jesus tells us that I'm your sufficiency, but you're telling them he's not sufficient? So you have to add the things you do. But the scripture everywhere is telling us that salvation is not a product of what you do. It's a product of what Christ what? Done. He said, were you born in the water, near the water? What nonsense is that? What does it matter where he was born? Some people were born in the village. Some people were born in America. When I came here and I went to visit people that have children and I saw the kind of place they give birth, I was wishing that my mother would come and deliver me again here. Because when we were delivered, there was no hospital. They used ordinary cloths to cover us. There was no napkin, nothing. It was a dog that was following us. Dog. It was dog. We had one dog. His name was Uturi. Uturi was following us. There was no napkin, nothing. That my mother, that was all she had. Nothing. In fact, if your mother had cloth, she was rich. Some people, it's ordinary mat. They cover them. So, but what I'm trying to say is that let's tell people what the scripture says. Your sins are what? Forgiven you for his name's sake. Because he paid for it. He died for it. Amen? Then number two is that the scripture tells us. And then even now that you are a Christian, some people get confused. And when you say your sins are forgiven, does it mean you do what you like? No, it doesn't mean you do what you like. If you understand the scripture, though, if you understand the gospel, it doesn't mean you do what you like. But it does mean, but I want you to listen to me, because people get confused here. And the devil takes this as his sticking point to be dealing with Christians. It does mean that when you come to Christ, you are coming a babe. You are born a babe. You are born a child. And the process of growth, what?
Starts. I want to ask you a simple question. Growth presupposes that there should be mistakes, right? Come on. We are growing into his image, right? Have you reached there yet? No. So because of that, as you learn along the way, there's going to be mistakes of judgment, some stupid mistakes you made, some stuff you do. Some you do kuro eyes and you say, well, I shouldn't have done this. Growth continues. You know, when you go to school and you pass because you had 70%, they didn't move you on because you had 100%. They didn't move you on because you had 100%. But because you have to move on, because the more you learn, the more you understand the other ones you did not know. So God takes you from glory to glory, not because you got everything. So to that extent, we are going to be sinning. Some self-righteous people don't like to hear that. But that's a fact of life. Paul wrote it. He said that to be justified by the law is self-evident that it's impossible. It's self-evident. If you tell yourself the truth and stop being in denial, we know that we haven't perfected like God is yet. But we're going from glory to what? From class to class, class to class, class to class. And so because that presupposes that there's going to be mistakes we're going to be making, then God says, if any man sin, you still have an advocate. Can I hear amen? Amen. You still have what? An advocate. What's an advocate? Your lawyer who is there on your behalf. Your lawyer represents your case. Jesus represents our case. And that's why his resurrection is important again. Because if he didn't rise, you wouldn't have your high priest today who is ministering before God on our behalf. That blood, nobody would have taken it to the altar of God. He had to come and become. Nobody was qualified to be the high priest except him. God made him a high priest by word of an oath. Say, you are a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So he took his blood to the. The Bible says he came into the altar not made by hands before God. The whole heaven was waiting. Here comes the Lord, high priest of the church. Here comes with his blood, just walking to the throne of God. And God looked at it and said, that's my beloved son, in whom the blood is correct. Somebody shout hallelujah. And he's still in that ministry role today because he rose from the dead. And that's why if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to what? Forgive you and cleanse you. But there's one man called the devil who will come with his list and say, see what you have done. And you go and say, yes, so that's me. He will take you by the hand and say, so let's have fellowship now. See you. Call yourself a Christian. Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm not a Christian. Oh my God, I'm not a Christian. No. But do you know that the Bible says that love keeps no record of what? Wrong. So who brought that record? God or the devil? So why do you read it? You're still growing. So the faults are not coming to an end. So if you cry for today, how about tomorrow? You're still growing. You're killing yourself for this one. How about tomorrow? How many times will you kill yourself? And then you come to church and tell you believe the Bible and you sing it along with us. What can take away my sin? Nothing but that. And you are singing. The ushers will say, brought this. You say, no, 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 no. Ooh, this is awesome. And after that, the devil brings a list and says, see you here. Brethren, let me tell us something. If you like, cry for your sin. If you like, hit your head on the floor. Without the shedding of blood, there's no solution. All that will take away your sin. Nothing will take away sin. Except the blood of Jesus. And the sooner you believe it, the better for you. You stop all these things that the devil does, mocking our Christianity, trying to mock you. He mocked Jesus. Now he said he trusted in God. Let God come and save him now. He will have problems. He will mock you. That's his ministry. But bless God, we have the scripture. We can rise up and say, Jesus is my sufficiency. You can't condemn me, devil. For there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I've known the truth. I'm not listening to you. I am walking from glory to glory. If you don't know these things, your boldness will go through the window. And he'll convince you are humble. Ah, that man is wicked. You say you're such a humble Christian, you know. You know, he convinced me one time that poverty was humility. I believed it. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not only me. Two of us believed it. I didn't mention the second person. But two of us, what? Believed it. We really bought into that lie that poverty was humility. And I was preaching it to people. I was telling people. I said, things of this world are not for me. I said, I use this soda soap to bath. He said, look at me. Does it change anything? You know, I said, I ride Okada. You don't need all these worldly things. The man convinced me that poverty is. Believe you me, he is a liar and the wicked one. And the thing kept me and my family in abject poverty. Because as a man thinketh, that it kept us in terrible poverty, I'm telling you. And then he told me, God is training you. And I accepted that too. That is training you in humility. And I said, my God, this training. I bought into that. I don't know if you bought into his lies until one time. Brother, I'm telling you, I preached in Ajegunle Church, the same message, and I got home. To conduct family prayer, God said, stop. He said, you killed them. I said, Lord, I preached your word. He said, there was nothing you said there that was my word. He said, you killed them. You finished them. You called them sinners. You called them this. You called them that. He said, did I send you to condemn people? Didn't you read my word? I came not to condemn the word. You were condemning them. My spirit will not do what you did. You were angry. You thought they were horrible people. He said, what hope? What did they see? What way out did you show them? Did you show them, my son? Nothing. He said, what you preach was not me. And he said, because you are proud, you think you are humble. So you go tell them you wash with all this soap. He said to me, he said, you want your children to prosper? I said, yes. He said, okay. So I don't want my children to prosper. But you want your children to prosper. Then you are better than me. You must be better than me because you want your children to prosper. But I, God, who is the Father, does not want my children also to have better soap. I want them to be using the soda one you are using. Ah, Jesus. I have a long story to tell, but not today. Amen? If he brings to the list to you, you know what you do to the list? Repeat, because God says, when I forgive, I don't remember it. Love keeps no record of wrong. God doesn't have that record. I'm telling you, don't go looking for it. Stop looking for, you had your clothes in the washing machine, and after washing them, and then you go back to the washing machine, and you are looking inside, your wife says, what are you looking for? So I'm looking for the dirt that was washed here. The blood washed it clean. And you are looking at the washing machine. And the devil says, it's still there. Why don't you tell him? It's not there. It's what? It's not there. When the blood washes your sin, it obliterates it out of existence. It doesn't exist. Did you hear me? It obliterates it out of what? Existence. Doesn't exist. Can I hear amen? Amen? So if you're talking of forgiveness of sin, Lord, I have to go through this again. Yeah, okay. So that as a Christian, you don't have to provide another sacrifice for your sin. There's only one sacrifice. You know, we try to present another sacrifice. Some of us try fasting. You start fasting immediately. Let me show you Bible so you stop that nonsense. Hebrews 10:8. Uh-oh. 19 minutes gone. Hebrews 10:8. Am I communicating anything to us? Please listen to me very well. It will help you. We've suffered a lot of loss, faithlessness because of this lack of understanding and how to deal with your faults and errors. Hebrews 10:8. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire. So I don't desire this sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offering for sin. You did not desire. Nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law, number 9. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. So he takes away the first, that he may establish what? The second, verse 10. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. How many times? Once and for all. He doesn't need another one. There's no sacrifice you're making. Say, I'm making sacrifice. It's rubbish. The Bible says God has no interest in it. Jesus said, this is your will. You gave me a body, which is sacrifice for the sins of the world. That's all. God doesn't need any other sacrifice. You are starting to fast. It's foolishness. It's ignorance. The devil is just messing you up. Your faith in Christ is not strong. If your faith in Christ is strong, you will not walk after the flesh. You walk after the spirit. You will not be carnally minded. You will be spiritually minded. You will know that what the scripture says is yes and amen. Because it's not that thing we wash away your sin. It's the blood of Jesus. And you can be strong in that faith. Because the devil has messed up a lot of Christians on this ground. I'm not kidding you. Boldness to pray goes. They can't stand the exercise authority. They can't reach for what is theirs. Nothing. And their life becomes a poor testimony of Christ. And they're not getting out of that rut because they'll still be making mistakes. And pretty soon, instead of staying in front, they start staying at the back. Who is driving you away? You come to Jesus when you need the grace most. He will in no wise cast you out. He came to redeem you, to help you out. He's not there to push you. No, 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 no. Come as you are. He loves people who come and say, I need help. He said, I came for sinners. I came for the unrighteous. But if you think you're okay, you don't need me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you know Jesus is our righteousness. Amen? But because we're growing, we're never perfect, God gave us the gift of righteousness. Because God doesn't take 90%. It's 100. It's 100%. And we don't have 100%. Only Christ has 100%. So when you come to Christ, he gives you the righteousness of Christ so he can fellowship with you. Because if you don't have that righteousness of Christ, there will not be fellowship with the Holy God who does not behold iniquity. He gave us that righteousness. The Bible says he made the Son to be sin for us. Who knew no sin? So we can become, come on church, so we can what? The righteousness of Christ. You say you don't want it? You don't need it? All right. Have you ever read anywhere in Luke chapter 18 from verse 9? Where it's talking about people who trust in their own righteousness. They trust in their own righteousness. That's man's source of pride. When you think you are your own sufficiency. I can make it. I'm righteous. Even that thinking alone is saying, I don't need Jesus. I don't need the righteousness of Christ. When you reject it, you put yourself in trouble. Because you have no other righteousness. Except the one that Christ what? Gives. It's a condition of pride. And people who are proud never reign, never exercise authority. For you to exercise authority, you must humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Which means you humble yourself and accept righteousness that God is giving you and say, I can't produce it. I receive what you give me by grace. Then you can reign on it through Christ. Amen? I said amen. You know, Peter, when Peter healed the man at the gate of beautiful, they came, they said, this anointed man, this is a man of, if he's today, ministry will start. Then people will line up. Peter will say, you line up, I have the anointing now. So when they came to Peter, I said, hey, listen, all of you. It's not my power anywhere, and it's not my holiness either. You think the church reads things like that? He says, it's not our power or our what? Holiness that made this man to walk. God, we are not any big shot before God. That's not why. He said, it's his son, Jesus, that God is glorifying. Brethren, we are glorified when Christ is glorified. When Christ takes the glory, the church is glorified along with him. That's why I said the glory that the Father has given me, I have also given to you. So when we put ourselves under his hand, under his authority, and things happen in the name of Jesus, then the church is what? Glorified along with him. And people come into the church. People come and say, this is a good place to be. But he doesn't do that because you think you are righteous. God calls our righteousness filthy what? Right. You might as well know that is true. People who are self-righteous, They don't pass up this opportunity to go and take a praise of men. They want to be seen as good. They don't want to see that God gave me righteousness. What are you talking about, Pastor? What I'm talking about is have none. You have none. You have none. The Bible says, what do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast? God gave us righteousness, church. Get over it. And be humble. And enjoy it. Amen. I said amen. Then the second thing is gave us freedom. Ephesians 1:7. I want to read a couple of scriptures. We're running along. Ephesians 1:7. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave us our sins. Again, it's all over the Bible, this forgiveness of sins. He purchased our freedom. He purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave us our sins. He purchased our freedom because the scripture says, if the son shall set you free, you are free indeed. Did he set us free? Okay. I want somebody here to read for me Colossians 1:13. Somebody here read for me 1 Thessalonians 1:10. Somebody there read for me Romans 6:18. Let's see what we're talking about. Colossians 1:13. You have 2 minutes this side. If you don't read it, we'll give it to another people. Stand up and read it loud. Go ahead.
He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love.
What does it mean? What freedom do we have there? Church, I'm asking you.
He has freed us from the power of darkness.
What freedom do we have? I didn't hear you. Freedom from what? You must say it. You must say it. What freedom do we have? How many of you believe the Bible is true? If you believe the Bible is true, do you have freedom from power of darkness? Yes. But the devil will show up and say you don't have it and you believe him too. He will come out, he's a deceiver. He will say Jesus is a liar. Jesus said, I've delivered you. The devil said he hasn't. He said, the devil said, well, look at your life. See, he's the one causing all this trouble. I say, I thought I was again as a man think it. You end up being bound. You walk backwards into darkness. You did that, not because the truth is not there. You didn't know the truth. Because if you knew the truth will what? Yes, if you knew the truth, you walk in truth, you talk to the devil, you can ban me, you're a liar. God, see that. You set me free, and if I see you on my doorstep, I kick you out. He will pack his things. Leave you alone. Praise the Lord. 7 days, every day, I'll have a dream that I was dead, buried. Every day, unless I didn't close my eyes. First dream is the coffin. They tell me, see, you are dead. And inside the grave, they'll dig it and say, see you. They cover it and say, see, you are dead. I'll get up and laugh. Didn't pray about it, didn't need to. I said to the devil, if you don't read the Bible, that's your problem. The scripture said, with long life, he will what? And God is not a liar. You are a liar. I said, that grave is for you and your children, not for me. He did that 7 days every day. Chuck, I'm not lying. Every day. Unless I didn't close my eyes. Coffin. Beautiful. Devil is wicked. Beautiful coffin. I'm not kidding. He put me there. How did they bury me? I will see it. I'll be watching it. Say, so see, you are dead. I said, no, you don't know what I'm talking about. I've known the truth. And it works for me. With long life, he will what? Satisfied. I said, they satisfy me until I am satisfied. And I'm not satisfied, so I'm going. And then I will laugh and go my way. After the seventh time, he realized that this man really knows the truth. You should be grounded in it because they will shake your faith. With all things like that, all those kind of stuff, visions, useless visions. Dreams, I don't buy about stuff like that. Because the word of God, the counsel of God will stand. I don't care what you're showing me. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, I don't listen to it. Because I know that God will never tell a lie. It's impossible for God to lie. His word is yea and amen. Anybody that believes, I say the problem, we don't believe this, we do religion. You know what's driving all this group? We're going out and looking for what already is your own. Sit down, believe it, you see what? You won't believe it. You're looking for karabara, karabara, that will make it happen. It won't happen that way. I'm telling you. The Bible said, if you don't believe, you receive nothing from God. Peter. It's your faith that makes the spiritual reality, brings it into physical reality. If you can believe, all things are. So the key problem is what? Believing it. It's not 10 times, count it 20 times, count it 20 times, turn to the right. It's a waste of time. He that believeth has entered into his rest. You stay in rest. You don't bother about it again. You don't even think about it again. You call it down. I was listening to a testimony of a woman on television whose child died. Died. 8 years, 11, sweetie. 11. You know, I call you all these wonderful names. Okay, let me call you another one. Honey, what did they say? She's pretending she doesn't like it. She likes it too. Don't worry about it. Hey, she likes it. Each time I call her, she'll go. And when I go home, she'll cook for me, bring it. So I like to call it God, it works. You try it now. Wanda, try it, the thing works. She will make real ogbono soup for you. So this woman said, he said, she will attend Bible studies all the time. She said it. She said, I will attend Bible studies. My faith was being built up. And so when challenge came, my faith was already grounded. He said, the scripture came up that Jesus, that God raised Christ up by the Holy Spirit from the dead. And I said, Holy Spirit, you raised Jesus up from the dead. Raise my child up from the dead. Give me back my child. He said, when I said that, I believed it was done. Ask her. He said, I concluded it was done. And immediately my child sneezed. Pia, pia, pia. The whole hospital went crazy. This is somebody. I think it's it. This is somebody that they already concluded dead. And when they say you are dead, you are dead. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So if you don't believe and enter the rest of God, the world won't work for you. Not because it's not true, but because you don't accept it to be true. Doubt is, I don't accept it to be true. How can two work together except there's agreement? So we have freedom. Then we have empowerment. Everybody say amen. Amen. We have what? Empowerment. We have what? Empowerment. We have empowerment. And our empowerment comes under four broad headings. I made it three at the Bible study, but I found that I need to split the third one into two so that it'd be easier for me to teach it to you. There are four broad areas of empowerment that we have. Number one empowerment we have is that we have been empowered to live the life of God by the Spirit of God that lives in us. That's number one. And then number two is we've been empowered by the Spirit of God that comes upon us by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, empowered to preach the gospel, empowered by the gifts of the Holy Spirit to bring influence, to bring divine influence. We have been empowered, number three, by the delegated authority that God gave us in the name of Jesus. And number four, we've been empowered by the blessings that God bestowed upon us, financial blessings, you know, some natural giftings you have, abilities that you have. God has empowered you to use it to bring godly influence over people. So we're empowered. Number one, empowered by the Spirit of God that lives in us so that we can live the life of God. Number two, empowered by the Spirit of God that comes upon us. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has what? Come upon you. So that empowerment that we receive after the Holy Spirit has come upon us is to enable us to do what we couldn't have done otherwise, preach the gospel with boldness. And then the gift of the Spirit of God that comes again with the gift, the Spirit of God coming upon us to use us to bring blessings to the body of Christ. And we're empowered by the delegated authority. What did I call it? Delegated authority that God gave us through Jesus Christ, his Son, that in his Son, in the name of Jesus, we can exercise authority here on earth. And then we've been empowered by the giftings, by the blessings God has bestowed upon us, because God blessed us so that we can be a blessing to somebody else. So we've been empowered to be a blessing. to somebody else. And so I'm going to just look at one and then introduce you to the delegated authority, because I want to take time and teach that one. Because if you get that one, a lot of things you pray about, you should be able to take authority over it. Amen? There are things God has empowered you to take authority what? Over. And if you're not using that authority, God will be looking at you. So I need to really take time and explain how that delegated authority came to be. Because you have to understand how, why this thing is so. So that when the enemy attacks you about it, you know your grounds on which that authority is true. So I want to talk about the empowerment by the power of God that lives in us. I taught this on Thursday, but I'm impressed to again repeat some of these things so that people will get clarity on them. Now, our brother preached this one, Brother Irun, as he was leading in prayer. Empowerment to live the God kind of life. What did I say it is? Empowerment to live the God kind of life. Let's say it again. Empowerment to live the God kind of life. Now, you do understand that the life that the Christian lives is not a human life. It is the life that is produced by the Holy Spirit. It is called the fruits of what? I didn't hear you. The fruits of what? It is not the fruit of a human being. The human being does not produce these things. It is a life that is beyond human ability. It's not sourced from us. It is sourced from God. The source of it is God. The source of it is what? God. It's not you. It's not me. So when you want to undertake to produce what it's not coming from you, it becomes an impossible task. Do you know that if men can live that life, Christ won't come to give it to us? He said, I've come that you might have what? Which means this life, you didn't have it before. You didn't have it before. You couldn't produce it. And if it's not in you, you can't produce it. Because he said, without me, you can do. So he's the source of it. I want you to understand this clearly. Because many Christians struggle, trying to be holy, and he's giving them headache. My wife used to tell me, she said, when we didn't understand this, she said, I used to try to be holy, and I was having headache every day. He said, I was living under stress, serious stress. And she said, I used to pray for Jesus to come, because it was too much for me. I don't know how many of you carry that burden today. You should drop that burden. It's not your burden. Can I hear amen? It's not your burden at all. Look at Philippians 1:11. Philippians 1:11. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation. The righteous character produced. Everybody say produced. Produced. I'm not done. Huh? Sorry? I don't have anything on the screen. Oh, really? Philippians 1:11. Okay. May you always be filled with the fruit. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation. Fruit is life. The word fruit is life. It's life. The life of your salvation, that's the result of your salvation, the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by who? Jesus Christ. For this we bring much glory and praise to God. Don't let this escape your mind. You don't produce these things, brethren. And you can't take the glory for it. You don't. Never can you. It is sourced from God. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. It's something spiritual. It's not something natural. It's not something natural people can do. It's not possible. Amen? So now when we take upon it, that's what Jesus was telling the Pharisees in Matthew 11:29. Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. 30. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give is what? Light. I said it on Thursday. If you begin to bear this burden, Jesus didn't give you. Go and know who gave it to you. And the sooner you send it back to them, do you know that this causes physical health issues? I ran into a dear sister. Listen to this story. She lost her mind and was hospitalized because somebody told her she committed an unpardonable sin. She won't go to hell, to heaven. That she will go to hell. She lost her mind immediately. And they took her to the hospital. She's a Jew. And when I met her, she was giving her tracts. I said, "Sister, you're a Christian?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Wow." I said, "Why do you go to church?" She told me. She said, "Why do you go to church?" I told her, I said, Do you people preach that when I commit sin I go to hell?" I said, "Why are you asking?" He said, "Because I just was discharged from hospital. Because they were telling me that and I lost my mind." He said, "It was in that hospital somebody came to visit me and told me about the love of God and the mercy of God that I'm not going to hell." He said, "I began to believe that and my mind came back." He said, if you preach this, you sin, go to hell." He said, "I'm not coming to your church." Because he sent me to hospital. Brother, I'm telling the truth. Do you know how many people have had high blood pressure because they are trying to be good? And they go to church, they are being condemned every time. And they leave church looking at themselves and they don't want anything anymore. And they say, "What else can I do? I'm trying. It's not working." I had a sister coming from Lagos one time. He said, "Pastor, for the first time in my family, we have joy. And my wife, my husband and I will have peace." He said, "Every time we leave church, we feel worthless. And we go home quarreling. And all my children are stressed. So the whole house is stressed out." He said, "But you started to show us this thing by phone. And we realized that, wait a minute, we've been carrying yoke and burden of life that Jesus said, 'Give it to me. Don't carry it. I'm the one that produces this thing for you.'" And he said, "We dropped the burden and joy came back." And then the husband called me. He said, "Pastor, I have a brand new wife. I'm not kidding you." He said, He said, "My home." He said, "We haven't had peace for a long time because of this stress." Stress. I don't know how to show you the stress you carry upon your head. And then they, if I come. Then you go to church and they put another one. Then follow me around. We're not done. Then another one. If I, he's so merciful, because sometimes they pack three. You can bring three. Then finally, you're yakataparam. Somebody is coming to help me carry the load. Now we'll catch you. Come, you are Jesus. Come. Oh, he's adding his own. Look at. Have you seen this kind of. He's adding his own on my head. He wants to add it. I'm carrying it. You know the load I'm carrying? Wanting to do what only God can. And come, Jesus, we'll cut you now. But Jesus said to me, "Give me this." So I give it to him. Oh my God. He said, "I'm your burden. Yeah. Cast your burdens upon me." Don't carry it. You can't handle life. It's too complicated. Where will you start? Is it the factors unknown? Don't even know tomorrow. You are going to your job. You have good intentions. You don't know what your co-worker is going to do there. You have no idea what's coming. All the troubles of life. You are settling. They call you from Nigeria. Call you from Ghana. Call you from here. It's trouble. You haven't finished with that. Another trouble. You haven't finished with that. Another trouble. Jesus said, "Let not your heart. Give me this."
I am your helper. And have rest. Believe and enter into my rest. I can handle this. Because with me, all things are possible. Then our Jesus is running away. This is not proper Jesus. Give me my friend. Ah, this is Chuka. Look at Chuka. My friend, go sit down. Look at Chuka. Chuka is pretending to be. This one. Nobody knew it was him. Now I found out it's him. Don't worry, they'll take care of that. Did you get what I'm saying now? Don't carry that. Matthew 23:4. For the bind, it's okay. It's okay, they'll take care of it. Make them, they'll take care of it. They know what to do. 23:4, Matthew 23:4. For the bind heavy, what? Can we have New Living Translation here? New Living Translation. They crush people with impossible religious what? Demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. Never. You are never good. There's never anything good that in your life. You're never good. You are never. You don't pray enough. You don't study enough. You don't activities enough. And yet you have 4 children to take care of. You have your job to take care of. You have a husband that is like me. Wahala to take care of. And yet they add more. Nobody's considering you. Nobody's thinking that you have it here. More demand. More demand. And then poor you, you go feeling so bad that you're not able to meet all that. Relax. Don't worry about it. Do your best. Jesus is your completeness. Amen. You go to God rejoicing that you are coming in the name of Jesus. And God will say, coming. Coming. That's okay. Say, God, but I failed. It's okay. Come. I knew you would fail. And I made provision for that for you. You love me. That's the point. I'm watching your heart. I know you love me. But you are growing. So I made provision for it. You know, we have children, right? So they start growing. Sometimes they pee on your desk. Do you throw them away? In fact, you love the pee. You love it because they're your kids. And they break plates. You throw them away. And then they grow. And there are no more breaking plates. But occasionally they break plates. If you say, my friend, you've grown. You're not supposed to say, Mom, I'm sorry. That ends the matter. You don't go back and say, you are saying you are sorry, but you broke. I said, Mom, I'm sorry. That ends the matter. I said, okay, honey, you pick it up, and that's all right. You go buy another. My mother saw. Hey. She will buy slate. Slate, you know slate? For right. After school, we are going home, and I will see a mango. It's my slate I will use. The woman was buying slate virtually every week. A man, I didn't see anything like that. And then occasionally, I will come home with that shit. I wouldn't know where my shirt because we fought somewhere and they ripped the thing. I didn't even know why. And Uma would look at me and say, hey, my son, hey. She would go to Gumabiro where and buy another shirt for me. There was no one she didn't buy that shit. There's no one she said, I'm not buying it again. No, she bought it. If human beings can do this, human beings can do this. What do you think God can do? He will bring and say, my son, it's okay. I know you are dust. I don't treat you the way you are. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Even while you were a sinner, I loved you. And I came to help you. My role in your life is to take you from glory to glory. You will get there. I will take you where? There. You have kids that gave you trouble. Don't worry about it. The same God that is working in you. Yeah. It's a matter of time. But if you carry the load of those children on your head, you'll die before your time. You will not be there to see what God is doing. But if you want to see what God is doing, drop that load on Jesus. Say, Lord, they're your kids too. I'm going to bed. I'm going to sleep. And God said, that's what I wanted you to do. Enter into my...
Because you can do nothing with your worry, can do nothing with your brother, all this, can do nothing. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Stop bothering yourself about life. I want to be holy. Stop bothering yourself. See, God will give you desires you will not want. He will make you love your enemies. He will make you love difficult people. And you'll be looking at yourself and saying, is this me? Yeah? Yeah. Because he's the one at work in you to will and to do him. Things you didn't want to do before, you were struggling with, you find yourself loving to do them because he's changing your mind, changing you, moving things around. Some experiences will allow you. So you realize that, wow, so this is what people are seeing here. So the next person you speak, the next time you see people here, you have compassion. You say, wow, I didn't know this thing feels like this. You know, when you haven't experienced some things, you think it's easy. But when you hit the rock, you say, is this what people are? You know, we're so proud and righteous because you haven't seen temptation. You haven't seen, if you see major temptation, you'll be humble in a hurry. In a hurry. You will not condemn anybody anymore. I'm telling you, because except the Lord builds you, it's in vain that we're building. So let's stop building. Let the Lord build us. Are we in agreement? Yes. Can we say amen to that? Amen. So look at the church, Acts 15. I don't have time here. If you don't give me time, we dismiss tomorrow morning. Acts 15, 24. Now therefore, why tempt you, God? You put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples. Look at that. Which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. So you put yoke on people. Loading them with religious yokes. He said, number 11, but we believe that through the grace, through what? Grace. This is the word that the church is rejecting. They don't want grace. They want works. Many Christians laugh at the grace of God. They think it's nonsense. I don't know how anybody can get by without the grace of God. He said, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved at the end. God will continue to deliver us from things and help us out. Amen? Amen. And he know the reason that they were putting burdens on people. Matthew 23, 24. And I think I'll stop here. Next Sunday, I want to go over to empowerment through delegated authority and show you how that God has given you delegate authority that's not your authority, but delegated to you. Because Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. But he delegated it to us to use in his name. And I'll show you the reason that you should. If you don't take your place of authority, certain works of God will be hindered by the devil, and you'll be watching it. That's why God gave you that authority. So you stop the devil hindering, because God depends on his body today to do his work. Am I right? Come on, am I right? How else do we do evangelism? Is it not the body? The work has to go on. We preach the gospel. Lay hands on the sick. God is not coming down to lay. We do that. Visit the poor. We do that. So if we don't take our place of authority, the devil can hinder some works of God that the body should be carrying out. So we should be able to exercise our authority over him and say, you are not doing this here. Again, in your private lives, if you don't have that authority, he will try to put you into bondage that Jesus set you free from. So you have that authority to stop him and resist him. Resist his work. And he will not be able to proceed. And when you stop him, you bring about the will of God concerning your life. We have a lot to talk about delegation. That's why I said I want to treat it separately. So you realize that if you don't take your place of authority, you lose battles. And if you don't exercise authority, nobody will do it for you. Again, if you don't exercise authority, something will exercise it over you. So there are not two ways about it. It's either you're exercising it, or they reign over you. No two ways about it. And so we need to really take time and study those things so that the work of God in our lives as a corporate body will be able to be concluded. Amen? You know, and I didn't talk of corporate empowerment that we have because the Spirit of God is among us as a church. That's a corporate ability that God gives us as a church. That's, I didn't talk about that. So I will end with just showing you why that the religious leaders were putting burdens on people. What did I call? Matthew 23. Can we read it, please? Oh, I have 8 minutes remaining. Okay. The ye blind guides. Do you know what it means by blind? Ignorant. When I use the word blind, it means what? Ignorant. You don't know anything at all. So it says, you blind guides, quit strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. That's why they were putting loads on people. Because they rejected Christ, the burden bearer. And they didn't know him. And if you don't know any better, you teach what you know. They didn't know Christ. They would say he came to his own. And his own what? Rejected him. So they rejected him. So they didn't know any better. So they were now putting loads on people, which only Christ can. They didn't know him. And he told them, he said, you don't have my words in you. Who, say, him that God sent, you rejected. And you know that whoever you teaches you, it's important who teaches you Bible. Look, this life, you are not here forever. If you play games with your life, you lose big time. And it's you that will lose, not somebody else. Don't play religion with church. Don't play sentiments and emotions with church. You got to make sure that you are hearing the truth. You are not here forever. If you add 10 years from now, you see where your age will be. You can't afford to be toying with your life, playing games and gambling with it, making this kind of rubbish. Do you know that Apollos was a man mighty in the gospel, in teaching the word, but he didn't know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Neither did he know about baptism in the name of Jesus. And the church on Ephesus was a good church, and the man was one of them coming to minister to them. And when Paul came, watch this now. When Paul came and met those disciples from that church, he said, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? They said, if there's anything like the Holy Spirit, what? Because their pastor didn't know. I asked them, so by what baptism did you have? I said, baptism of John. Why? Apollos didn't know. He was limited. His hearers were limited. But here comes somebody who has better understanding. So he explained to them that John the Baptist was pointing to Christ. And then he now baptized them in the name of and then they got baptized of the Holy Spirit because somebody who knew better came along and taught them this thing better. They would have stayed in that limitation if Paul didn't come. And that would have hindered them in so many ways. So the Pharisees who were teaching the Jews, they knew nothing. They didn't know Christ. So they were loading them with Mosaic laws and stuff like that. They didn't know the strength that God is sending. The Lord is the strength of our lives. Can I hear amen? Yeah. They didn't know Jesus, the strength of our life. They didn't know him. Because if they knew him, they would introduce them and say, we have strength that can carry this thing. The Lord is the strength, what? Of our life. Of who shall we fear? I'm done. Praise the Lord.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org where you can listen to other teachings freely or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.